this week's Minds Over Matter, Dana Rodriguez is joined by technical editor Kira Pace and teacher cinematographer Cameron Shaw.
Sure, you might.
Gotta be Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you, David, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. Hope you are having a lovely weekend, and we also hope you can spare us an hour of your time tonight because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, we're inviting your participation out there. We hope you'll take the time to call. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that is area code 415-841-4134, and toll-free. Yes, we have a toll-free number, 866-798-8255. That is 866-798-8255. We'll be taking questions on current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, and whatever was dragged in by our panelists. So anyway, the floor is pretty much open at this point. Dance card is available. And again, 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. It's a great time to call in right now. Most of our lines are open. So if you've been waiting and you hadn't been able to get in on another show, now is a great time to call, especially if you have a question ready. We'll be giving out some questions of our own momentarily, and then you can call if you'd like to answer those. Just to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. That is MINDSOVERMATTER1. That is the numeral one. So that is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. We don't read the emails during the show generally, unless the phones go out, and that has happened. But hopefully they'll be stable tonight. But it's always a pleasure to hear from our listeners, so feel free to email us anytime. If you'd like to hear this show online right now, it's certainly available live stream at kalw.org. That is kalw.org. And if you'd like to listen to the podcast of our show, a wonderful pastime, I'm told. That is also that will also be available at kalw.org and iTunes later on, et cetera, et cetera. And of course, we have many, many of our old shows. You know, when we're all much younger, it goes way back. So if you'd like to binge listen, one of our listeners sent me an email saying how much he enjoys binge listening to the shows. So hard to believe, but yeah. Does. Anyway, so all that being said, we're going to start with the round of introductions, and here's the first. Kira Pace celebrates the beginning of Netflix binging season. Speaking of binging,
yeah. So I'm excited. There's finally TV to watch again.
Oh.
Yeah. Cameron Shaw has once again come in last in her March Madness pool, but everyone knows her coworkers cheat. Besides, it's baseball season now, so who cares?
Yeah. Our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, would like to state that there will be no obstruction tonight. Everybody booted from the show will be for just cause.
That's right.
Warning heeded.
And we will begin with Kira Pace.
All right. So a couple weeks ago, I was at a Bay Area Quiz Club event down in the South Bay. And so I am using a couple of their questions tonight, if that's okay. I hope it is, because that's what I prepared. So this one comes from Balaji Srinivasan, and it is this. What famous author, a passionate cook whose books regularly featured lavish feasts, wrote novels and stories because he needed the revenue, but produced his masterpiece entitled Le Grand Dictionnaire de Cuisine because he loved the work?
Just read that whole thing over
sure.
once more.
Yeah. What famous author, a passionate cook whose books regularly featured lavish feasts, wrote novels and stories because he needed the revenue, but produced his masterpiece entitled The Grand Dictionary of Cuisine because he loved the work?
I'm assuming this is somebody French.
Somebody French, yes. Okay. You could tell by my magnificent French pronunciation. Grand Dictionnaire de Cuisine.
And is this 20th century? Or should you not tell us?
I'm not going to tell you.
Okay. Probably.
It's not Proust, I'm assuming.
No, that's a great guess, and that was my initial guess until I saw a picture of this person, and then I'm like, oh, I know who that is, and it's not Proust.
And this is a very well-known author.
Very well-known. It's surprising what this author wrote, just sort of tossed off so that he could write his dictionary of cuisine.
How about Sartre?
Sartre. That is also a good guess.
How about Jules Verne?
No, not Jules Verne.
Or Victor Hugo?
Nope. Not Victor Hugo.
Okay. But it's a famous French.
Very famous. And you know at least two of his works, I'm sure.
Way to make us feel silly.
All right. Okay.
You'll come up with it.
And Cameron, you go ahead, too.
Okay. Brunei has been in the news in the last few days, which made me look it up. And so I'm wondering what the official name of the following countries are. Brunei is one of them. Greece, Guyana, and Uruguay. They all have much longer names than those four countries.
Just give the list once more, if you
sure. would. Sure. What are the official names of the following countries? Brunei, Greece, Guyana, and Uruguay.
Well, Brunei is just the kingdom of Brunei, is it not?
The Sultanate.
The Sultanate. Oh, that's it. That's it.
What I've found is something different. It could perhaps go by multiple names. Hmm. But so I'm not going to say you're wrong, but...
Is one of these going to be the United States of?
No.
Any chance?
Okay. No. But
there are a few of those.
There are a couple in that realm, but it's not the United States of.
Well, Greece used to be the kingdom of the Hellenes, but is it the Hellenes?
I'll give you that. It's the Hellenic Republic
Hellenic
of Greece.
Hellenic Republic,
yes.
All right. Oops.
And so we still have Brunei, Guyana, and Uruguay.
Uruguay. Interesting. Okay.
And Guyana, does it have to do with the British Empire, like British Guyana?
No, I don't believe so.
So do the full names describe the type of government?
Yes. In one of them. Guyana's, it does describe the type of government.
Like the something Republic of blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
Or Kingdom of, or et cetera. Okay. All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi.
And this is Glenn in San Francisco.
Hey, Glenn. Good to hear from you.
Yeah. So I have some questions for you.
All right.
Which two countries share the longest land border?
Is it the U.S. and Canada?
Yes.
Okay.
And then, can you name the five fastest growing cities in the United States?
Phoenix.
Houston. Sorry. Step on you.
Is it? No, it's okay. Is it either Phoenix or Houston?
Phoenix is one of them.
Okay.
Not Houston?
No.
What about Jacksonville?
No.
How about Las Vegas?
Well, that's
no.
good.
How about Fargo?
No.
Oh. Do the cities tend to be on the west or east coast? Well, probably not the east coast, but more in the toward the west of the Mississippi?
More toward, yeah. I'm sorry. What did you guess? Guess the Texas city. Which one?
Cameron guessed Houston. Yes.
No, then that's not on there.
Okay.
Oh, is there a Texas city on the list?
I gave myself away. Yes.
Okay. How about San Antonio?
Yes, that's one. Yes.
Good. Okay. Good. Okay. So we have two of them.
Yes, two of the five. Yes.
Two of the five. And how about San Diego?
No.
San Jose?
No.
So would these tend to be in places that are more affordable than, for instance, the Bay Area?
Not necessarily.
Oh, what about Portland, Oregon?
No.
Okay. Or Seattle, similarly?
No.
And is this growing by population or by area?
Population.
Okay.
How about Boise?
No. Go back to where you were before. The last one you got right.
The last one I got right.
Oh, how about Dallas?
There you go.
Okay.
Oh, I thought we said that. Okay.
Stay there for another one.
Fort Worth?
There you go.
Wow.
Good.
Okay.
So we have Dallas, Fort Worth, San Antonio,
Phoenix.
Missing one more. Is it also in Arizona?
No.
So they're all Sunbelt, or most of them are Sunbelt.
Yeah. Are they? Is this final one west of the Mississippi as well?
Yes.
Is this one in California?
Yes.
Okay.
Ooh.
Bakersfield.
No.
Fresno.
No.
Fresno? Nobody goes to Fresno anymore. Is it Southern California?
Yeah.
Is it Los Angeles?
Yes.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah. All right. There you go.
One last question.
All right.
Which state has both the highest and lowest elevations in the country?
California.
Yes. Yep, okay.
Good job.
That's it.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yep.
And, all right. Let me do a couple questions here. Well, Mark sent me an email. Mark in the Mission sent me an email last week saying, well, the first part of the email was very nice. It said how much he enjoyed the show. He even said it was brilliant and all that sort of thing. And then he got down to about the third paragraph, and then she started to criticize. But it was a legitimate criticism. He said that since Lawrence Ferlinghetti's birthday was last week, and we didn't mention it at all. So
I wasn't here, so totally not my fault.
As a matter of fact, I believe he said that if Kira had been here, it would have been mentioned. But maybe he didn't. I don't know. Maybe I'm assuming that. But so I came up with a Lawrence Ferlinghetti question.
Oof. Okay.
So Lawrence Ferlinghetti's middle name is the same name as a major United States company.
DuPont.
No.
Starbucks.
No.
Let's see.
Lawrence Ferlinghetti, the poet's middle name, is the same as what major United States company?
Is it a food company? Food or beverage?
In a very, very roundabout way.
Cisco.
No.
Okay.
No.
Johnson.
No.
Okay.
Roundabout food way.
It is not an Anglo-Saxon name, exactly. Oh. Call it that, but is the name of a major United States company.
Kraft.
No.
Okay.
So once more, Lawrence Ferlinghetti, the poet's middle name, is the same as what major United States company? It has something to do with
Unilever.
Has something to do with chemicals.
Okay. Well, I was on the right track with DuPont then.
Yeah.
Dow.
No.
Okay.
Nope.
No. Well, Teflon?
No.
No. What am I thinking of, though? I don't know what I'm thinking of.
All right. So once more, Lawrence Ferlinghetti, the poet, who just celebrated his 100th birthday, middle name is the same as what major United States company? Okay.
Real quick, is it food related because it has to do with cookware?
No.
Okay.
No.
Teflon would have worked.
Right. Yeah. Well, exactly. No. I'm trying to think, but Teflon was DuPont, so I've already exhausted the DuPont angle.
Not and
Tupperware.
Thanks to Business Insider, I have a list of the three most printed phrases in the English language.
Wow.
What are the three most printed phrases in the English language? And you have one guess each.
Is this printed?
Printed,
in
not
all,
spoken.
All print.
Printed. Yes.
All print. So.
All print.
This page intentionally left blank.
No.
How about happy birthday?
Oh, that's a very good guess, but no.
Mm-mm. Okay.
So what are the three most printed phrases in the English language?
So Cameron said Tupperware. So what about Tupper?
No.
Okay. Because it was named for some dude named Tupper, and that's totally fair.
But that's not the name of the company. That's Tupperware.
Tupperware is the name of the company.
Is that the name? I think
yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
All right. But it's not that anymore.
Okay.
So once more, what are the three most printed, not spoken, printed phrases in the English language? And the poet Lawrence Ferlinghetti celebrated his 100th birthday. His middle name is the same as what major United States company? And the two numbers to join us are area code 415-841-4134. Or toll-free, 866-798-8255. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
Good.
So first of all, I have a correction about the last caller. The tallest mountain in the United States is not Mount Whitney, which is in California. What is it?
It's Mount McKinley.
That's it.
In Alaska.
Yeah, he was incorrect.
I think he just meant to say continent. I'm sorry, continent.
Yeah, he could have said the continental U.S.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, but, you know, great question. All right, so I have a couple of questions for you. I'll do them very quickly. Two of the most famous ancient Egyptian queens was Nefertiti and Nefertari. Nefertiti, it means the beautiful one have arrived. And the Nefertari, it means the most beautiful. So Nefer means beautiful in ancient Egyptian. I'd like you to name both of their famous pharaoh's husbands. Let's start with Nefertiti first.
I'm going to make them say that when I come into the show from now on. The most beautiful one has arrived.
is one of them is Ramses, right?
One of them is Ramses.
Okay.
Good job.
So, very good. Which one?
Let's get Nefertiti is Ramses.
No.
Is
no, Nefertari.
Okay.
Nefertari.
My
Nefertari.
Bad.
And, yeah, very good. Very good. And she came after Nefertiti. Okay, who is the famous pharaoh, husband of Nefertiti? Nefertari was Ramses, but Nefertiti was somebody else.
Richard, no.
Yeah. I'll give you a hint, because yeah. I love your show and I want more people to call. Monotheus, first man, there's only
one. Oh, the one
God.
Played by Michael Wilding in The Egyptian.
Yes.
Whose name
yes.
I can never
what
remember.
What is his name?
Oh.
Well, remember, he changed the god name from Amon to Aten.
Oh, Akhenaten.
Name,
Akhenaten.
Akhenaten.
There
yeah.
you go.
Yeah, and his son is Tutankhamun. By the way, when he died, his son changed the religion back to Amun, and that is why when Tutankhamun was born, his name was Tutankhaten. But the priest changed his back to the old religion to Tutankhamun. Very quick question. Well, if you add all of the radioactive waste emitted in the atmosphere and environment by all of the cars and fossil fuel producer, and compare that with all of the nuclear reactors in the whole world, which one produces more radioactive waste? All of the cars and factories and everything, all of the nuclear reactors. Now, this is my field. I spent a long time at Cal studying that stuff.
Well, I'll go ahead and guess cars so that if I'm wrong, you can sweep
by
in with
far,
the, yeah.
billions of times. Billions of
billions
times.
Billions of times, wow.
Yeah, your car exhausts have thorium, uranium, a bunch of radon, so many other gases. So we really have to do something about cars. We really do. Always a great show. Thank you, guys.
Thank
great
you.
Show. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Kira, please commit those answers to memory about Egypt. So,
yeah, I don't know why.
You're going to hear those questions again.
No, I couldn't remember Akhenaten's name for a second, but luckily he said Aten, and then I got there.
Every time I get a question about Egypt, I always, my mind is always blocked by the Three Stooges short in which they were looking for the King Rootin' Tootin' and Queen Hotsy Totsy. So
mine goes straight to Steve Martin and King Tut. So, yeah. You know, I'm in the same boat.
So, all right.
I'll good. Be the show's memory.
Good, please. Just
job.
Remember those.
All right.
All right. And it's your turn, Kira.
All right. So last year, House Beautiful put out a list of the most famous hotel in each state. I'll give you a list of hotels, and you tell me the U.S. state that each is in.
How do they gauge?
Criteria for the most famous is the most significant ties to history and or film.
Oh.
Okay. Oh.
So I will read you a list. Put a couple easy ones in there. So. Historic Skagway Inn.
Alaska.
That's the first one.
you don't want us to do it. You want to read the list first?
I'll read the list
okay,
first.
That's good.
So, and you can look at it. The second one is Old Faithful Inn. The third one is the Peabody. Number four is the Fontainebleau. The fifth is the Adolphus. Number six is the Greenbrier. Number seven is the Inn at Mystic. Number eight is the Palmer House. Number nine is the Stanley Hotel. And number 10 is the Grand Hotel. So I'll let you take your pick. I'll have you pick off of those, and then I'll reread what's left.
All right. Do you want to go first, Cameron?
Sure. I'm going to guess the Inn at Mystic, is that Maine?
Nope, not Maine.
Okay.
But I know why you guessed that.
Yeah.
You're very close. You just had the wrong state.
Okay.
But you guessed it for the right reason.
Okay. Darn.
Well, all right. Skagway, that's Alaska.
Alaska, mm-hmm. That's right. It is. It got its start in 1897 during the Klondike Gold Rush.
The Peabody's in Boston.
It is the not. It's not the most famous hotel in Massachusetts. That's a different hotel.
Oh, is it?
There are a few Peabody's. There's also one in Orlando, but it's not the most famous in Florida either.
The Greenbriars in West Virginia.
It sure is, and it currently offers tours of the declassified bunker, the emergency Cold War bunker that was carved into the mountain for Congress. That is correct, and that's Two Bells, by the way.
All right.
Old Faithful has got to be in Wyoming.
It is, located within Yellowstone National Park. It is a 327-room log cabin.
Wow. Well, let's see. The Fontainebleau, and I won't call you on this, but you misspelled it.
I did misspell it, I realize.
It's in Miami Beach.
That's right. It is located in Miami, and it is able to be seen in the Golden Girls opening credits.
It's a great reason to be famous.
It's in a bunch of movies, too.
Yeah,
but
right.
Most importantly, it's in the Golden Girls opening credits.
And it's in the bellboy, Jerry Lewis. That's where it was all filmed.
I'll buy it. I know very little of Jerry Lewis films.
So
other than, was it Tears of the Clown or whatever?
How about, is the Peabody in Tennessee?
That's right. The Peabody
Ducks. Oh, there is a Peabody in
there
Nashville.
Is. Yeah, in Memphis.
Oh, in Memphis?
Yep,
right.
And they walk from the rooftop to the lobby. The ducks do to swim in the fountain, and they've been doing that since the 1930s. So I think that is what that's five gone, so I'll leave the other five for the audience.
Read the ones that are left over.
Sure. These are House Beautiful. They put out a list of the most famous hotel in each state. So for each of these hotels, you tell me the U.S. state that it's in. And I have the Adolphus, the Inn at Mystic, the Palmer House, the Stanley Hotel, and the Grand Hotel.
All right. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Our panel tonight, of course, Kira Pace, technical editor, and cinematographer and teacher Cameron Shaw. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you're listening to us on, no surprise here, 91.7 FM. That is KALW, your local public radio station. And the two numbers to join us are area code 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Is that me?
It is you.
This is Matt from Victor, Idaho.
Oh, hi, Matt.
Hello. Did anybody answer the frustrated French author hook?
No, but I hope you do.
Dumas?
That is absolutely right.
Very good.
Good job. So,
and just because of Three Musketeers, since, candy and such. Anyway.
That is hilarious. I don't know that there's actually a connection there, but... between his book and that candy bar, but you are correct, Dumas.
Very well. And then I used to work in hotels for 20 years, so I'm going to take a couple of stabs here.
Okay.
Palmer House is in Chicago.
Yes, okay. Chicago's first hotel, and the original burned down 13 days after it was opened in the Great Chicago Fire.
That's sad.
Yeah. And then the Stanley is...
I know you got this.
It's Colorado. It's just kind of north. West of Boulder.
And why is it the most famous hotel in Colorado?
Well, I mean, they didn't use the hotel in the movie, but The Shining is what it was featured in.
Absolutely correct. Hotel from The Shining.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Have a great day. Thank you.
Thank you. And next call. Hi, you're on Hi. Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Chris from the Inner Richmond.
Hi, Chris.
Lawrence Monsanto Thurlingen.
Oh. That's right.
I was going to guess that
Lawrence
as a joke.
Lawrence Monsanto Thurlingen. Very good.
That's why I got it. She was halfway there with Dow.
That's amazing. Good job.
Yes.
All right, thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks.
All right. Thank you very much.
That was an excellent question.
And all right, Mark. Mark in the Mission, that was for you. And Cameron, your turn.
Okay. What is the longest country name to consist of alternating vowels and consonants? And what are the 9 U.S. state names that consist of alternating vowels and consonants?
This is a Kira question I've ever heard one.
No. Oh.
Because I don't want to have anything.
Arizona is one of them.
Arizona is one of them.
So it's good. Just read the question once
Okay,
more.
Sure. What is the longest country name to consist of alternating vowels and consonants? And what are the 9 U.S. state names that consist of alternating vowels and consonants? Kira just got Arizona.
And Alabama.
Alabama, yep.
What about Delaware?
Delaware, yep.
No, that's for you. Okay, and there are nine states?
There are nine states. We've gotten Alabama, Arizona, and Delaware, so there are six remaining.
Six left, okay.
Oh, I'm sorry, there are only eight. I only have eight here. Maybe there were supposed to be nine, but I wrote eight. So let's say eight. There are five left.
Okay. We'll leave them out for now.
Okay. And a country.
And the longest country name.
So when you say the longest country name, is that the generally accepted name that you see on a map, for instance?
Okay. Unlike my other question.
Not the official long.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
It's not going to be something super short like Japan, right?
No,
okay.
It's not.
Longer than that.
Much longer than
okay.
that.
Okay. Much longer. Ooh.
Yes.
No. Okay. Shoot.
Oh.
Burkina Faso is so close, but it's got the RK.
Yeah, that is close.
So, what are you looking for in the country name once more?
It's the longest country name to consist of alternating vowels and consonants. So
it has to start with a vowel.
It doesn't have to start. It doesn't have to, but this one does start with a vowel. Yes.
I almost said Zimbabwe, but no. All right. Okay. Think about it, and let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Hi, it's Fran in San Francisco.
Hi, Fran.
Utah, is that the, that would be the
state? Oh, yes, and you know what? That's the ninth that I don't have written on here.
There you
so
go.
Good
well,
job.
Okay.
I knew there were nine.
I have a question for you. It involves presidents and city streets.
Okay.
I want you to name the six presidents which are named streets in San Francisco between Kearney and Divisadero.
Well, Fillmore and Pierce.
Okay.
Buchanan,
Taylor.
There you are. Very good. So Fillmore, Pierce, Buchanan, Taylor.
Franklin. No, I'm sorry. He wasn't a president.
Fillmore, Pierce,
Buchanan. Did you say Buchanan already?
Yeah,
okay, sorry.
Fillmore, Pierce, Buchanan, Taylor.
Polk.
Polk, yes.
Good. Grant?
Yes.
Okay. So that's
one
it.
More.
Oh, isn't that
wait,
it?
Wait, Grant is perpendicular to the rest
five,
of those, though.
Six.
Shh.
Okay, sorry.
actually, not. No. So did you get, how many did you get?
That's
I
six.
I think we had six.
Fillmore, Pierce, mm-hmm. Buchanan, Taylor, Polk, and Grant.
You got them. Okay,
yay.
Very
right,
good. I'm going to pick one more question. I'm going to name these people Leonard Bernstein, Boris Karloff, Judy Garland, Lauren Bacall. I want to know what they have in common.
Is this going to be something like they all went to the same high school?
It involves a place.
Okay, once more, please.
Leonard Bernstein.
Right.
Boris Karloff. Judy Garland. And Lauren Bacall.
Well, Boris Karloff wasn't born in the United States.
Is Lauren Bacall, is she still alive? Or did she?
No.
Okay,
is it where they're buried then or interred?
No.
Okay.
Mm. Not buried. Would be the opposite. I'm giving you a clue.
Where they lived?
Good, yes.
Did they all live in the Dakota?
Yes, they did.
Oh, okay.
You get a bell.
All right, thank you.
All right, and a special hello to Kira.
Hello, Fran.
Fran, hello.
Hello.
Hi. And to Mrs. Potato Head.
Right.
Indeed.
Thank you all.
Thank you, Fran.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Let's see. I think it's my turn here. Okay. Well, let's see. What did I... I'm trying to remember where I got this. This was from the Reader's Digest, I think. And they came up with a list. I don't know why it's 11, to be honest with you. So they came up with... they did a poll, a national poll, and they came up with the 11 most frustrating things on a daily basis for Americans. So, what are the 11 most frustrating things on a daily basis for Americans? This is a national poll done through the Reader's Digest. So, I will give you each two guesses.
This is recent, correct?
Yes, this is this is last year.
Okay.
This is not 1945.
I mean, are these just little things, or would it be something as big as, say, broken political system?
Yeah.
No. These are all day to day frustrations you would have. So it's not the national news.
Okay.
It's your like your day to day life frustrations.
So like losing your keys.
No.
Okay.
Yes, but
it would be something like that.
Yes,
yeah.
yes.
Okay.
But it would things when you actually on it on a
what about just traffic?
Yes, a little more specific.
Other drivers cutting you off.
Rush hour traffic.
Okay, yeah. Being stuck in traffic is one. All right, there you go. You get the idea now.
Sure.
So again, these are day-to-day frustrations. So 11 most frustrating things on a daily basis for Americans. So far we have being stuck in traffic. And I'm sure that these are all very obvious things that we have all been irritated by, I'm sure. I know I have. So.
Is this only adults, or would it be, say, too much homework for kids?
No, these are adults. Well, this is adult stuff. So.
How about spam email?
You are kind of on the right track.
It was like spam calls then?
A little old, more old-fashioned.
Like telemarketers?
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
All right. There you go. Telemarketer phone
calls.
Go
team. That was a team effort.
All right. Yes. All right. Okay. So once more, the 11 most frustrating things on a daily basis for Americans, and this is sort of dealing with it adults now. So far we have being stuck in traffic and telemarketer phone calls.
Long lines? Or just lines in general? Waiting in line?
No.
No. Anything more to do with waiting? Like waiting around, or have we exhausted the waiting?
Not specifically, no.
Okay.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Hi, it's Sheldon on a boat in Richmond.
Hi, Sheldon on a boat.
I have one of the states with alternating vowels and consonants.
Right.
How about Idaho?
You got it. Yes, Idaho.
Good.
All right, that was seemed really obvious. Anyway, Danny, you probably remember this more than your co-conspirators there, but there was a time when we used to write an awful lot of checks, and I'm wondering if you have a guess as to when the number of checks we wrote in this country peaked.
Huh. Oh, I think you're assuming, and I'm much older than I am, but let's see. So, are we talking about more than 10 years ago?
Yes, actually.
Okay.
Is it somewhere in the 1990s, perhaps?
Oh, so this is pre-credit cards, then.
Right.
Yeah. Is
or
that what
before
you're
you could use credit cards for so many things, which sort of spiked. I won't say why it spiked. But I don't know if it's peak, but I think 80s or 90s is probably
80s
right,
as
right?
Well, yeah. But
you're in the right ballpark, yeah.
I will go back to the 70s, I think. I'll try the, say, 1975. How about that?
Well, in 1979, it was $33 billion, and it peaked at just under $50 billion.
Okay.
And that was in 1995.
Oh, that late.
Oh,
okay.
Got it.
All right.
Yeah.
Here was the closest.
And the most recent numbers they had in the Atlantic was for 2012, and how low has it dropped as of 2012? And I'm sure it's dropped more since then.
I still write checks. How low has it dropped? Oh. You mean from its peak? In other words, if I were to give a percentage or something.
Yeah, it's dropped from $50 billion to...
How about $10 billion?
No, it's actually 20.
20,
oh. Huh.
Right. Yeah. But again, that was as of 2012, and, you know, things have changed quite a bit since then.
Okay.
Anyway. Thanks very much. Great
Thank
show.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
The country is United Arab Emirates.
You got it. Good job.
Good. Good job.
Is that what you triumphantly raised your arm
actually.
For mid-question? Okay.
And Kira, it's your turn.
Alrighty. Okay. I have another question from the Bay Area Quiz Club. This one comes from Govind Krishnamurti, and it is this. In the late 16th and early 17th centuries, Earth experienced a little ice age. In Europe, the Thames froze, and there were snowstorms in Portugal. A team of researchers at the University College London was able to attribute this mini ice age to what specific human activity?
Human activity.
Human activity. Again, this was a mini ice age in the late 16th and early 17th centuries, so late 1500s into the early 1600s.
And it's definitely a human activity.
Oh, yeah.
There's a book that just came out about the Little Ice Age, but I haven't read it yet. Is it anything war-related?
Yeah, there are parts of it are war-related, but it's not just war, and that's not really... It's an overarching thing.
Okay. I mean, this is pre-Industrial Revolution, so it's not going to be blocking out the sun with soot.
It's a human activity.
Does it have to do with exploration?
Yeah, it does have to do with exploration, okay. Sure.
Gosh.
It's an interesting mix of both of your answers, okay. Exploration and war.
Okay.
Anything to do with burning of things, fires?
Only incidentally.
Revolutions or?
I would qualify that as war and say that you guys are still sort of on either side of what it is.
All right, let us think about this. Read the question once more.
Sure. In the late 16th and early 17th centuries, Earth experienced a little ice age. A team of researchers at the University College London was able to attribute this mini ice age to what specific human activity?
Did these researchers, are they current researchers who attributed it in the past, or were they
the attribution
researchers during the 17th?
Oh, no, these are more recent.
Current, okay,
yeah.
Got it.
And, so we are a little past halfway through the show, so let's repeat any questions. You don't have to repeat that one, but anything else you have, go ahead.
Yeah. Last year, House Beautiful put out a list of the most famous hotel in each state. So for each of these hotels, tell me the U.S. state that it is in. And the three I have left are the Adolphus, the Inn at Mystic, and the Grand Hotel. That's all I have left.
All right. And Cameron.
Okay. I have, one... two, three, four of the nine U.S. state names that consist of alternating vowels and consonants.
Oregon.
So now I have three left. And the official names of the countries of Brunei, Guyana, and Uruguay are all out there.
All right. And I have a list of the three most printed phrases in English. I'm getting very little traffic on that. I thought I could have my nails done while people were calling up about that, but I was wrong. What are the three most printed phrases in English? Not spoken, printed. And Reader's Digest did a national poll on the 11 most frustrating things on a daily basis for Americans. So this is an adult thing more than a children. So the 11 most frustrating things on a daily basis for Americans. So far we have being stuck in traffic and telemarketer phone calls.
How about children as an answer to that?
Yes. And what would the children be doing?
Having tantrums?
Crying loud.
Screaming. Yeah. Okay. Screaming kids.
Can I guess on the printed phrases again?
Yes, you can.
How about sign here?
Well, that's good.
No, that's a very good guess, but no, not that.
I think that that's only not on the list because the researchers didn't think
of it.
We're
going to get to number four, I guess. Maybe that was number four. I don't know. Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, this is Tim in San Francisco.
Hi, Tim.
Hey, how about some guesses on the common phrases written? How about to whom it may concern?
Oh, that's also a very good guess, but no.
Very truly yours?
No.
Dear sir or madam?
Ooh. No.
Okay, and can I ask a question?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to give you a list of actors who all appeared in a popular TV series, ran in the 60s. You tell me the name of the series. The actors are Elizabeth Montgomery, Agnes Moorehead.
Bewitched.
Say it again?
Bewitched.
No, let me finish the...
Oh, I'm sorry.
Elizabeth Montgomery, Agnes Moorehead, Carol Burnett, Peter Falk, Dennis Hopper, Ron Howard, Robert Redford, and Burt Reynolds.
The Twilight Zone.
Yes. Very good. Okay. But I thought you were going to guess Bewitched, so I said
that's
it
why you put Elizabeth Montgomery and Agnes Moorehead first.
I had to do those first, so you'd guess Bewitched.
All right.
Hey, great show. Thanks.
Thank you. Appreciate it. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good evening. Sparky Maddie, how are you all doing?
Good.
All right. A daily annoyance. How about 10,000 spoons and all you really need is a knife?
No.
I see what you did there.
Yeah. Thank you. All right, I'm all over it. Or should I recuse myself? The Inn at Mystic.
No, I actually thought of you as I included that on the list, so why don't you go ahead?
It's Connecticut.
It sure is, like Mystic Pizza.
State.
Also, I will add that there is yet another Bogey and Bacall connection, because that was their honeymoon spot.
Really?
Yeah. You know, I was just going to ask that.
Well, there you go. Now you have an answer.
Well, okay. That's enough for us.
Oh, thank you.
All right, we're done. Bye.
All right, bye-bye. And let's see. You know, Cameron, I think it's your turn.
Okay. What is the oldest continually used company logo?
That's the... Isn't that the Bass Ale or whatever it's called?
That's not what I have.
No, is this in the U.S. or...
No, it is not in the U.S.
It's an alcohol, right? And it's the one with the pink triangle?
No.
No. Okay.
It's not alcohol.
Not according to my research, no.
Okay.
Is this a well-known national
yes.
brand?
Yes. And it is a brand that is in the U.S., but it did not originate in the U.S.
Did it originate in the U.K.?
Yes.
Okay. But it's not alcohol.
No.
Oh, is it jewelry or...
No.
Is it luxury goods?
Not currently.
Okay.
Perhaps at one point. But no, not currently.
It's not food.
It is a kind of food.
Hmm.
Yes.
It's not red deviled ham. There,
no.
I know that's Underwood deviled ham. That's very old. I think that's the oldest in the U.S. Okay.
So it's not beverage, though.
It is a beverage.
It is beverage.
Yes.
Oh, it is a beverage.
Sorry, I guess I included that under the food umbrella. Yes, it's
okay.
a beverage.
But it is not alcohol.
No.
What British beverages are there that aren't alcoholic that we know of here in the U.S.?
Is it soft drink?
Nope.
Oh, Twinings.
Yes,
okay.
It is Twinings
very good.
Tea. Good.
Good. Okay.
1787.
Ooh. Yeah. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello, Harris from Emeryville.
Hi, Harris.
First of all, I wanted to thank you for the wonderful birthday party. I wasn't able to call, but it was a great, great night.
Oh, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Okay, I have two simple film questions and then one a little bit more complicated. They're two quick ones. Who was the only actor to receive two Academy Awards for the same film?
Harold Russell in The Best Years of Our Lives.
Got it. Simple. Who is what actor received the best Oscar for the shortest performance?
Is that Hannibal Lecter, Anthony Hopkins?
That's a good guess.
Well, they say Anthony Hopkins, but David Niven in Separate Tables.
Oh, okay.
Would not.
Yeah. Right. One place said 15 minutes, one place said 16 minutes. Okay, now here's a little more tricky one.
Right.
There are six directors six directors who directed their own wife in film. The wife won an Academy Award for Best Oscar. For Best Actress, I mean Best Oscar. Who were the six directors who directed their own wives to awards?
Well, the Joel and Ethan Coen with Fargo.
Francis
McDormand.
That's one.
I forget which one she's married to.
Would Vincent Minnelli be one of them? I don't.
No.
I can't come up with what movie that would be.
An Oscar.
Yeah.
How far back are we going here?
Let me think. Most of them are from the 60s, but there's one from 1935.
Oh.
So 60s on. Most of them are in the 60s. Actually, one is in the 80s, in 1980, but the rest of them are in the 60s. And then, of course, Fargo.
Right. So, 60s and the 80s and 1935. Of course, I should get 1935 right away. I'm drawing a blank at the moment.
Did you say 80s or 1980, the year 1980?
Well, the one happened to be in the year 1980. I'm kind of giving it away. The rest of them were in the 60s area, and one in 74. Okay, so I'm giving a little more away now.
Okay,
let me think for a minute. Well, no, Laurence Olivier never directed Vivian Leigh in any...
No.
Well, this is going to take a while. Maybe you should name a couple of the husbands or the directors.
Okay, I'll name the husbands. One is a giveaway, Paul Newman. That's a giveaway.
Oh.
Blake Edwards,
right.
John Cassavetes, and Richard Brooke.
All right, so
Bridget Brooks.
So then Julie Andrews would be one of them.
But
right.
But wait a minute, now I'm confused. So I thought you said the husband directed the wife in her Academy Award-winning performance.
Hmm. Correct.
I don't think Blake Edwards didn't direct Julie Andrews in her Academy Award-winning performance.
Oh, did she not win for Victor or Victoria?
No.
Okay.
She went for Mary Poppins.
Yeah, that's true. And that was. Wait, did she win for Mary Poppins?
Yeah.
Okay. I just remember she.
Or The Sound of Music, or whatever it was. Anyway, it was one of the two.
The Sound of Music sounds more likely.
But she did. She never won when Blake Edwards directed her, and Richard Brooks.
Well, I have information that for Victor Victoria he directed.
Have been nominated for that, but she didn't win for it. And Richard Brooks was married to Gene Simmons.
Right.
And she was nominated for, I think, Elmer Gantry, but she didn't win for Elmer Gantry.
Yeah, I stated the question wrong. I apologize. They're nominated, not winning. Nominated, okay. I'm sorry.
Okay. And, okay, so that being said, then give me the list once more.
Is it Paul Newman? Okay. Oh, Paul, so that
Richard
would be
Brooks, Joel Cohen, we've already said, John Cassavetes, Blake Edwards, Paul Zinner, 1935 film, and Paul Newman.
Okay, Paul Zinner was married to Elizabeth Bergner, and who was nominated for, I can't remember the name of the film now, but anyway, that was 1935.
Escape Me Never,
thank you. And Paul
Joanne
Newman.
Woodward.
Was that what was the name of that film? It has two names to it.
Two names, right. Begins with an R.
With an R?
The film begins, it's two names that begin with an R. Each name begins
with an
R.
That's it. Rachel.
Yeah, exactly.
And who are we missing now?
Cassavetes.
Was married to...
Did you get John Cassavetes?
Yeah, I'm thinking about that. His wife was Jenna Rollins.
Right.
And so she was nominated for what?
She had two nominations from him.
The one where she played the gangster's widow. Is that the one?
Yeah, that's right.
But I can't think of the name of the film. I'm sorry.
Gloria,
okay. And... So what are we missing here? Anything else?
I think you got, Richard Brooks and The Happy Ending,
right.
Joel Cohen, John Cassavetes, Blake Edwards, Victor Victoria, and Paul Zinner. Yeah, you got them all.
All right.
Nice.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
It's like watching the gears turn in Dana's head.
Well,
great.
They don't turn quite as fast as they used to. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Tom in Southern California.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. Some of the last of the states, how about Texas, Nevada, and Colorado?
You got
good
them.
Job.
Good job.
Thank
Yay.
You.
Let's see. The printed phrases, how about In God We Trust?
That is one.
Oh.
Very good.
And E Pluribus Unum?
No, not that.
Oh. Objects in mirror are closer than they appear?
No, but it is something you would find in every hotel or motel room.
Oh.
Is it emergency exit?
No.
Is it Gideon's Bible?
No.
Oh.
In case of fire?
No.
Do not disturb?
No.
I can't. Nope, I can't.
All right.
How is In God We Trust correct, but E Pluribus Unum?
Yeah,
I don't know.
I call shenanigans on that.
That's it. I'm thanks, Kara.
I am on your
support.
Side, Tom,
awesome.
From wherever you are today.
The hotels in each state, the Adolphus is in Texas.
Is it?
The Adolphus, which is named for Adolphus Bush, founder of Anheuser-Busch, is indeed in Texas.
Interesting. Okay. Hey,
and is the Grand Hotel, is that in Michigan?
Yep.
All right.
It's on Mackinac Island, where no cars are allowed, and it's the hotel. They do a Somewhere in Time weekend every year that Jane Seymour goes up for.
Right. What was it? Did you happen to? I want to take a guess. You didn't say California. What was the California one?
Well, that's because it was, I think it was the Beverly Hotel. So it was sort of an instigate.
I would have thought the Hotel Del Coronado would have been a better option for some like it hot. Let's see. The human activity, is that shipbuilding?
No, but again, it is like all these sort of work together for this this answer. So there's ships, and there's exploration, and there's war, and it's the late 1500s, early 1600s.
Making hard tech, I don't know.
Is it is something to do with the with iron and steel and the invention of
melting?
All right. I'll take some guess on the official names. The Brunei, is it the Islamic Sultanate of Brunei?
No, it is not. Good guess, though.
Okay. Is Uruguay, is that Archibald Leach?
No, but I like what you did there.
All right. Let's see, and I don't really have... Well, I guess I haven't heard this question in a long time, and I heard a new answer for it, so... What is the longest single-syllable word in English?
Strengths?
No.
Good guess.
Good guess.
How many letters?
10 letters.
Oh, wow.
It's not originally an English word. It's from another language, but...
Is it from German?
No, but close.
What sort of word is it?
Yeah.
It is a Yiddish word.
Oh.
Past tense.
Oh, okay. I was thinking, let's see.
Verklumpt. It's two syllables.
That's only eight. Okay. Is it going to also be a plural? Oh, no, you said it was past tense, so that makes it a verb.
Yeah, no,
So it would be like plot, schlept, schlept.
H-L-E-P-P-E-D.
That's nine. No.
No. And it is the verbing of a noun.
Oh, you
glitched?
Better...
No.
What?
Glitched? G-L-I-T-T.
Nope.
No, that's only eight anyway.
You better give it to us.
From chicken fat?
Oh, schmaltz. Schmaltzy schmaltzed.
Schmaltz.
Past
schmaltz.
Schmaltzed. With an E-D at the end? No.
You really schmaltzed that up. Yep.
Sure. I've heard that used.
Yeah, why not?
Thank you very much.
Thanks. Adios. Great
show. Adios. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Yeah, hi. This is Greg in Alameda.
Hi, Greg.
So I have a guess for the most printed phrase. It doesn't have to be printed on paper, does it?
Well, generally is, but go ahead. What do you?
Okay. So I made in China.
No.
Oh,
that's very good, but no.
That's so good.
Not that.
That's printed on everything.
Yeah.
Okay, and then the country name with alternating vowels and consonants?
Yes.
United Arab Emirates.
Yes. Kara actually got it earlier, but good job.
Oh, somebody got it already. I'm sorry.
That's okay. That's, right. That's okay. You that's got right. it, too.
All right, so I was working on it. I didn't miss it. All right, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Hi, it's Peter in Glen Park.
Hey, Peter.
Was the mini ice age due to the use of tobacco?
No, but once again, tobacco does play a little bit of a part in it, particularly where the tobacco came from.
Okay, so...
Virginia.
All right, so that's part of it. So we're dancing around stuff.
Colonization and...
The colonization of the Americas. That's
really?
Absolutely it. Yep. So, 55 million people, mostly indigenous, were killed by war and disease. So approximately 56 million hectares of land fell into disuse.
Sure.
Trees grew and lowered the temperatures.
Interesting.
Yes.
Colonization of America. So thank you for helping out with that one.
Sure. For states, what about Utah?
Yep, Utah is one of them. Good job.
And for printed phrases in English, what about God Save the Queen?
No.
All right.
Oh, that's clever, though, going to a different country.
I have a question.
Right.
How many years was Mao Zedong chairman of the People's Republic of China?
Gosh.
Well, I'm just going to do this by the year they came to power, so 1949 to 1975 or 6?
He died in 76.
76, okay. So.
Nope.
But no, so that's
nope.
27? No?
Nope.
Okay, so was that title just given to him for a short period of time?
There is no such title.
Oh, okay.
Tricky.
He was chairman of the Chinese Communist Party for 33 years. He was president of the People's Republic of China for only 5.
Huh. Okay.
But, he kept his power by being chairman of the Central Military Commission of the Politburo.
Hmm.
That was his main chairmanship.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.
All right. And next call. Oh. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Hello.
Hi, you're on.
I'm going to guess 3 of the most annoying things.
Good.
How about being put on hold?
Is that
no.
due to your recent experience being on hold?
Standing in line? No. they call back. They have an automatic callback.
Oh.
Standing in line. As in at the airport.
No.
How about looking for a lost object?
No.
Like your key?
Mm-mm.
Uh-oh. Well, let me guess some of the states. Is Texas one?
Texas is one. Yeah, we've actually gotten all of the states. It's Alabama, Arizona, Colorado, Delaware, Idaho, Nevada.
Okay, you got all.
Yeah.
Then I had no
but
chance
good job.
For a bell.
I gave you one anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thanks.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right.
What about refrigerate after opening?
What's
for
that?
One of the most printed phrases.
Oh,
refrigerate after opening.
Sell guy.
Nope.
Sell
and
guy's good, too.
Let's go to the last call here. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter. Hi, you're on.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you.
So, first one, did someone already guess no smoking?
No, nobody guessed that, but that's not it.
Okay. Well, then, my second guess was for the 10 most frustrating things, remembering passwords.
Oh.
Remembering passwords.
No, not specifically, no.
Okay. For like logins, because we all have 8 million passwords now.
There is computer related stuff on it, but that's not one of them.
Okay, well, I'm out of ideas.
Thank you very much, though.
It absolutely Thanks. Should be.
Yeah.
That's a great guess. Time to clean up here. What do we got?
Okay, nothing.
Nothing.
Oh,
Cameron.
Okay, my country question was not so popular. Thank you for the one person who. Guest. The actual name of the country of Brunei is the Nation of Brunei, the Abode of Peace. Guyana is the Cooperative Republic of Guyana, and Uruguay is the Oriental Republic of Uruguay. Which,
all right. Yeah. The 3 most printed phrases in English, in God we trust, closed cover before striking, and sanitized for your protection.
You're kidding.
No, that's what it said. And the 11 most frustrating things on a daily basis, according to the Reader's Digest National Poll, laptop computer freezing, slow Wi-Fi, being stuck in traffic, people talking on phones too loudly, people who don't signal their lane change, taking up 2 parking spaces, slow walkers, loud music, people who talking during movies, I hate that,
yeah.
Screaming kids, and telemarketer phone calls.
Anyway,
slow walkers.
Yeah.
And they're talking on phones while they're walking slow, too.
Yep.
Anyway, if we didn't get to your call, I do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Our thanks to our panel tonight. That would be Kara Pace, technical editor, and, of course, Cameron Shaw, teacher and cinematographer. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. My thanks to David Lott to Leap for handling the board and phones tonight. And above all, our thanks to you for taking the time to tune in and call in. So if you have time, please join us next Sunday at 7 p.m. We look forward to it. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
It's blank. If you don't spend, you bank. If it ain't Bing, it's Frank. It's gotta be this or that. ¶¶